Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me today. Well, we've been ministering on a very important subject, and that is putting power into our prayers. We have been looking at what the Word of God, what the Gospels record as to Jesus' specific instructions regarding prayer, what the Word of God tells us so that our prayers can be effective and that we can see answers to our prayers. And just by a way of quick review, and I should mention, if any point in time you miss a broadcast or you'd like to rehear them, please feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and they are archived there for a number of years. You just click on the broadcast and you can listen anytime at your convenience. But we were looking at specific directives that Jesus gave, and I'll just outline them quickly. The first one was the importance of a sincere heart, how important sincerity and earnestness is. We talked about the importance of humility, the importance of true repentance, obedience. We talked about faith. We talked about forgiveness. And today, I'd like to begin by talking about that seventh step, and that is the importance of fasting. Fasting is a tremendous way that we can see answers to our prayers. God honors fasting. And let me say this, fasting should be done at the leading of the Holy Spirit and when He directs you to do so. If He directs you, He will also strengthen you to do it. Thousands of people can fast and not be Christian. This is just a discipline of their lifestyle. In fact, God has given me a ministry of fasting, and long before I even came to the Lord, I knew the benefits of the physical health benefits of fasting. But when I came to the Lord, of course, it became a spiritual discipline. And lest some of you just, I remember once I preached on the subject of fasting. This was years ago in the 80s. And I remember a brother just spoke. He said, "Well, I can't fast." Well, I would beg to, I spoke with and answered his remark, and also to some of you who may be saying, "Well, Sister Glass, I can't fast." Yes, you can. And how you fast is between you and the Lord. Now, as far as what the Bible outlines, there's different kinds of fast. There's the absolute fast, such as Esther went, and that was no food, no water. And generally, that is not, you can't go beyond 3 days on that because water is essential to life. I've never done an absolute fast. But the more common kinds of fasting are just fasting on water. And I've done, especially in my early years as a Christian, I did a lot of water fasting. That's the kind of fast that Jesus undertook for 40 days and nights when he was in the wilderness. And then there's a Daniel fast. That's, remember when Daniel and his the young men of Jerusalem were taken captive to Babylon, they requested not to defile themselves with the king's meat and wine and asked to receive just vegetables. And they were fair and healthier looking after 3 weeks' time than those who'd been eating the king's delicacies. And so there's many different literal ways to fast. In the last number of decades, I found, well, really, as I became more active in ministry, that I found I was much more effective. My strength level was could be maintained if I fasted on vegetable and fruit juices and herbal teas and things like that. And so how you fast is totally up to you. And now some might say, well, Sister Glass, I'm, for physical reasons, maybe being diabetic, I can't fast. You can fast. If you cannot fast in terms of the ways I've been sharing, you can fast in spirit. You can give up coffee or tea or sodas or dessert or candy or some specific thing that you like. For example, I've known people to fast television. Whatever it is, God will honor the attitude of your heart. And so it is important that we understand God expects us to fast in whatever way he would speak to our hearts. So fasting should be, you know, in terms of the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about the almsgiving, he talked about prayer, he talked about fasting. And so it's not an arbitrary thing. It's one of the things the Lord expects us to do as he would speak to your heart. And so don't let anyone else tell you how you should fast. You need to seek the Lord. The combination of fasting and prayer as a child of God can bring about answers where nothing else will. Jesus said in Matthew 19 and 15, when he was asked why his disciples didn't fast, he said, "The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they shall fast." Well, Jesus ascended to heaven, and we are in those days. Jesus focused special attention on the combination of prayer and fasting. Many times you'll feel to fast when you have a special prayer burden, and you'll just know in your spirit, and you will feel comforted in your heart. We find the record of a widow lady in Luke 2:37, which served God with fastings and prayer night and day. The terms fastings and prayers allows for those times, of course, when she ate, meaning many different times. And in Acts 10 and 30, we know that Cornelius fasted. In Acts, the 13th chapter, the second and third verse, we see what happened in the early church. It says, in the church at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, and as Barnabas and Simeon was called, and it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost spoke prophetically. He said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So Paul and Barnabas were set aside and sent to the Gentiles after the prophets and teachers had fasted and prayed. And there are many other instances of fasting and prayer that are recorded in the Bible. Some other scriptures are in Matthew 6 and 16, Nehemiah 1 and 4, Acts 14 and 23. In the early church, when the disciples ordained elders to the church, it says they prayed and fasted. Fasting with prayer will put power in your prayers. And I know from personal experience, there are times God has moved on me to fast, and I would always, you know, have a particular intention. And I fast regularly, and sometimes in certain seasons, I do. It's a regular part of my life. It's a ministry. I pray for the needs that come in. I fast and pray for UCM partners. It's just a regular part of my life. And I have a ministry of fasting. Now, some people have a ministry of intercession, but we are all called. You see, we may not have a ministry of intercession. We may not have been called in that special position as an intercessor, but we are all called to pray. Is that not right? And the same is true for the ministry of fasting. We may not have a ministry, quote unquote, of fasting. I've known a few people, as myself, that do have that. However, we are all required to fast as the Lord would direct us. Praise God. And so I've taken quite a time to share about fasting, but there are times, very critical times in my life, in ministry. Sometimes God has spoken some real direction for the ministry in times of fasting, something I hadn't even been seeking. I'll never forget. I mean, God did something powerful in my life when I was in a long extended fast, and he delivered me from a certain fear. And so it is an extremely important element in receiving answers to prayer. Now let's move on to the eighth step I'd like to share with you in putting power in your prayers, and that's the importance of perseverance. Some people pray and they expect instant action on God's part. Now, God will at times, and He has and does move instantaneously and answer prayer many times, but also there are times when prayers are not answered immediately, and it's important that you need to understand that, and that's where intercessory prayer is so important, prayer that intercedes and does not give up. We need to understand that it is God's nature to give. He's a good God, and He wants to bless us even more than we want to be blessed. Persistence in prayer puts power in your prayers, and God will not refuse to answer. Prayer must be humble, it must be believing, it must expect to receive an answer, and be persistent and unwavering and full of faith, not doubting. We have to keep on praying regardless of the outward appearances, regardless of how your circumstances look. You have to stand firm. You know that God is going to, whatever He's allowed it for His purposes, and you have to stand your ground and trust God that He's going to make a way for you. He's going to make a way for your loved ones. You must continue to pray, standing as Jacob did. He refused to let the angel of the Lord let go. He prayed as a David who cried out humbly before God, trusting God, holding on like Elijah, persistent, like the Syrophoenician woman. Prayer brings spiritual life energy to us. We are, if I may use the term, energized through prayer. Putting power in our prayers is consciously avoiding all known sin. David put it like this in Psalm 66 and 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." David simply states that if I cherish sin, if I want to sin and not obey God, God's not going to hear me. So standing steadfast in your prayers will put power in your prayer life, and you will see answers you've never seen before simply because you won't give up until you receive an answer. Praise God. Well, there's still more to share with you, and with the Lord's help, perhaps we'll conclude on tomorrow's broadcast. But I must bring this broadcast to a close with an invitation for you to write and share your prayer requests. There's another spiritual principle in answered prayer, and that is the power of agreement. And so I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you. I thank you for your prayerful support. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.